your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Gil Martin of Locked On Islanders. Great to be with you today and every Monday as we talk to our local experts about some of the biggest stories around the National Hockey League. We have a great show for you today. First, we'll be joined by Dane Lewis of Locked On Dallas Stars and the Stars at a crossroads right now, and we'll talk a little bit about the start to their season. Then Sarah Avampato of Locked On Kings, Locked On Los Angeles Kings, will join us and talk about the amazing start that the Kings had in their opener, an emotional win over the Vegas Golden Knights and some great hockey being played by some of those players. And then finally, we're joined by J.D. Young, the co-host of Locked On Sharks. He'll talk about the Sharks this season, the Evander Kane situation, how San Jose is going to handle that, and a whole lot more. Want to thank everyone for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. And right now, it's my pleasure to welcome to the show Dane Lewis. He is the host of Locked On Stars. And Dane, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you here. Stars already played three games, including one on Sunday. Let's start with this, your initial thoughts about some of the newcomers on the roster. Let's start with Braden Holtby. He seems to be holding up pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anything, our newcomers are supplying the team with positives so far in this young season. But Braden Holtby especially, with some really solid performances in New York, especially on opening night, despite him having to leave in the third period due to some dehydration issues and some cramping. But a really solid performance from him. And then even in Boston, obviously Boston's offense is traditionally one of the best just with the talent that they have at the forward position. And I think he did really well and that he's, you know, proving that he deserves to be the number one goalie on this team as of right now. Anton Khudobin has had his moments, certainly, both in the past and also a little bit this season. But Braden Holtby's been a nice surprise. I think there was a lot of confusion and just a lot of questions asked by the Dallas Stars community when they signed him this offseason. But I think a lot of those questions are starting to get put to rest.
How about Ryan Suter? How has he looked so far in these opening few games?
He hasn't looked too bad. I think he's still just trying to find where he fits on this team, being as old as he is, being one of, if not the oldest guy on the team. I know he and Pavelski are pretty close in age. But I think that his veteran presence is definitely needed on the defensive side, especially with a guy like Miro Heiskanen, who's looking to become one of the premier defensemen in the league. And even with guys like John Klingberg and Esa Lindell and Yanni Hakimpa, I think that there's just value in, even if Suter's not necessarily putting up the best numbers, which it is early in the season, but we haven't seen anything super phenomenal from Suter yet, just kind of so-so play, I would say. I think his expertise and his experience in playing, he just cracked 1,200 games for the Dallas Stars, I believe, on Sunday's game in Ottawa for his whole NHL career. So he's certainly seen a thing or two. And so I think there's value in that, that he can teach some of these younger guys on the team some of the things he's learned in his time in the league.
One of the issues that the Stars have had in their first few games is just getting the puck out of their own zone. Talk to me a little bit about the defense and the transition game and what's been lacking so far.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been one of the more infuriating things to watch, I would say. And I think many Stars fans would agree. And I think the problem is just bad passing to get the puck out of the zone. I think the defense is doing fine on getting a lot of stops and block shots or takeaways and really helping our goalkeepers out. But then the passes out of the defensive zone just haven't always been the smartest, or they've been kind of lazy. And so I think the Stars just need to do better as a team and looking to make sharper passes or smarter decisions, even if it means, you know, being a little slower to get out of the zone. I know a lot of times now in the modern NHL, you know, it's all about how fast can you get down the ice and produce offensive opportunities. And so naturally that's the tendency of most teams. But I think Dallas can really improve getting the puck out of the zone, getting good offensive looks if they can, you know, consistently get it out of, the defensive side of the ice and finding open passes. And it may take a little longer. It might not be the flashiest thing. But, you know, it's just about the little details. And I think that's something Dallas has struggled with so far. But hopefully with time and practice, we'll be something that gets fixed.
Obviously, you know, through three games, you've scored a total of four goals. Talk to me about the offense. We, you know, this is more of a defense-oriented team, but the offense obviously has to pick up.
Certainly. And it's so weird because, I mean, and the guys that have scored haven't necessarily been the guys that, you know, you think would, with Roddick Fox notching the only power play goal for the Dallas Stars so far. Jacob Peterson, Luke Glendening, and then Michael Roffel. You know, being some of our big goal scorers. And then Joe Pavelski, of course, at the end of the Ottawa game. And it's, I don't think it's necessarily from a lack of shots or lack of looks. I think a lot of Dallas's shots just aren't, they're not finding the spot. They're either going wide, and we've had several that have hit the bar or hit the top of the goal and or top of the net. So they're getting good looks. I think it's just a matter of it being early in the season and guys, especially a lot of our older guys that are coming back from injuries or coming back from shortened seasons last year, like Tyler Seguin, and Alexander Radulov, guys like that, just trying to get their footing back and playing normal NHL games with the normal road schedule. And so, it's hard to say what the issue is because they're getting shots on goal and they're getting good looks at the net. They're just not connecting. So I think it's just one of those frustrating things that some teams deal with at the start of the season. And you just, I think if you're Rick Bowness and the coaching staff or the Stars, you tell the team, keep shooting. The goals will eventually come because, like I said, especially on the power play, they've had some good looks and they just haven't been able to capitalize.
And you got to hope they don't start pressing and squeezing those sticks a little too tight.
Right, right.
You talked about the power play. It has been struggling statistically, but as you said, they are getting their looks. What, if anything, do you think Rick Bowness and his coaching staff need to adjust to get that finish going?
Yeah, I think part of it kind of similar to, I guess, what we talked about a little bit ago on the defensive side of the ice. I think there's just too much of a rush to kind of get the puck near the net, especially this last game against Ottawa. I noticed a lot, whether it was the power play or five on five, there was a lot of urgency from the guys at the blue line, a lot of our defensemen just kind of throwing the puck at the net, which isn't always a bad thing, but it would be early in the possessions and it wouldn't really allow Dallas to have time to set up and let everyone kind of get where they need in order to pass the puck around. So I think it's just, I think the thing hurting Dallas the most on the power play is the lack of passing and the lack of being patient and looking for a good shot. Because, you know, you can only get so many shots off a rebound or off a ricochet. And I think it looked like that's just kind of what Dallas was hoping for, especially in the second and third period against Ottawa, but even a little bit against Boston as well. There just seemed to be a little bit of a rush, which I know 2 minutes isn't always the longest time to score a goal. And you want to be efficient in your power plays, but there also kind of has to be some sort of strategy to it, some sort of finesse, if you will, to get a good look at the net.
For people who don't follow the Stars day in and day out, give me a little something about this team that they may not know.
Yeah, I think one thing about this team, I think if you're on the outside looking in and maybe, you know, a fan of another team or just kind of a casual NHL fan, one thing I think that you'll see is there's a lot of age on this team, but there also is a lot of young talent that I think is – you know, not at their full potential yet, but on their way there. Guys like Denis Gurianov, Jason Robertson, who obviously, you know, a lot of people know him with him being a Calder finalist last season, but he's been injured these first three games. And so guys like him, Rupe Hintz, even Jacob Peterson, who scored the first goal of the season for Dallas in the game against New York as a rookie. There's a lot of young talent on this team that maybe necessarily won't be talked a whole lot about this season. But I think as time goes on, you know, if Dallas can keep these guys here and continue to develop them and build them up, I think the future could be bright, especially on the offensive side. A lot of the guys I just named are they have a lot of potential when it comes to scoring on the ice. And those are a lot of the guys who have gotten some good looks this season and just haven't been able to execute or find the net just yet.
Well, hopefully time will tell that these guys can get it into gear. Dane, why don't you tell our listeners where they could find the show and where they could find you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. I am on Twitter at @Dane_Lewis. So that's just my name, but two underscores in between my first and last name. And then you can find Locked On Stars anywhere else that you get your podcast at. And then recently, within the past few weeks, we've moved on to YouTube. So you can just search for Locked On Stars, whether it's on a podcasting platform or on YouTube as well. And so, yeah, you can check us out wherever is most convenient for you to find us.
All right. Dane Lewis, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
And today's episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and oh, you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you could watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there's no annual contract. So, get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Again, we are free and available on all platforms. And right now, it's my pleasure to welcome in a familiar voice to listeners of the Monday Locked On NHL podcast, Sarah Avampato of Locked On Kings. And Sarah, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad to be here.
It is great to have you here. And your Kings certainly got off to one heck of a start in the season opener. And it was sort of the veterans, the established mm-hmm. players in Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty getting the job done. Talk a little bit about that exciting season opener against Vegas.
It was the complete opposite way of how I thought that game was going to go. The Kings got like almost 50 shots on goal. They won the game 6-2. Anze Kopitar had a hat trick. Everyone was basically predicting that the Kings were going to blow this one and that they were just going to come out and look terrible. And they, for the first time in ages, were ready from puck drop all the way to the last buzzer and actually played the kind of game that Kings fans have been hoping to see for years. I've seen a couple of analysts online say that they've never seen Vegas get that like blown out of the water statistically ever. At least in the regular season. So it felt really good. And for Kings fans who are, you know, watching this team that's in transition to getting back to being relevant, it was really good to see a little bit, a glimpse, I could say, of the future, even though it was led by our veteran players.
What did they do so well that led to this outburst?
You know, there was just a lot of... There was a lot of movement with the puck. There wasn't so much of the like dump and chase stuff that we're used to seeing from the Kings. They were successful on the power play. They had, I think, two of their goals were power play goals and actually engaged in movement on the power play, which I was like, I haven't seen this in ages. You know, they got Vegas's defenders moving and were able to score. It just seemed like everyone had bought in from start to finish. There was a lot of like plays getting disrupted in the neutral zone. Vegas was very unsuccessful at getting into the offensive zone for them basically at all. So it was just sort of a commitment to playing the 200-foot game that we don't usually see from this team. Got like guys who were like back checking who I never see do that. And I was like, all right, this is great. You know, can't last apparently, but you know, game one, rousing success.
Talk to me a little bit about Cal Peterson, the goaltender. He's now the number one, replacing Jonathan Quick, and he had a solid game in the opener as well. What is making him so successful?
I think that he is in some ways sort of the opposite of Jonathan Quick, because we all know that Jonathan Quick is who he is. He is very kind of hot-headed and, you know, makes the crazy saves that everyone is like, wow, that's amazing. But he had to like jump because he was losing his net in the first place. So Peterson is very calm, cool, collected. One of those guys that like, I'm sure someone in the room has said like ice in his veins kind of player. And he has just gone about building a very solid, very like nothing flashy about it. He just gets the job done. And he has seen a lot of pucks in his time in the AHL with the Ontario Reign, because the Reign also haven't been particularly good. So he He routinely faced the most shots out of anyone in the league when he was there. And I think that he, you know, still has his down moments as a relatively newer goalie. And Todd McClellan is basically he's basically going to be splitting their starts for right now until someone steps up and is like, this is mine, like just seizes that net. So, you know, we're right now it's kind of a 1A, 1B thing, but obviously the intention is to pass the torch to Cal Peterson. But, you know, Jonathan Quick might have something to say about that, but I don't know. We'll see.
Talk to me about the three major newcomers to this team, Philip Deneau, Victor Arvidsson, and Alexander Edler. How have they looked so far?
They have been really good additions. Deneau especially, I was really excited about that signing. He really takes a lot of the load off of Kopitar in terms of defensive starts and everything. It's not necessarily going to bring Kopitar's minutes down, but he's not going to be facing probably the same bulk of work of having to do all the heavy lifting with being a defensive forward. I think that he is going to be a great fit for this team, and he's already generating some chemistry with his line mates. Alex Iafallo in particular is also sort of defensive minded, but can be a little bit creative as well. Edler has already been kind of an impressive veteran force on the back end. You know, we know he's not going to be playing all 82 games. We know that he is a little slower in terms of foot speed, but the IQ is still there. And there was one play in that season opener where he stopped a 3-on-1 rush and everyone was like, that Alex Edler, like, you know, which it was great. It was a very smart play that sort of exemplified what you get when you've been in this league for that long, that you can just make those little plays to stop something like that. Arvidsson, I think, is still getting his feet wet. He scored his first goal against the Wild, and you can see the chances on, he has the puck on his stick a lot. He loves to shoot the puck. He just hasn't quite got the chemistry yet with his line mates, but that first goal finally went in for him, and I'm hoping it opens the floodgates, because it's been a long time since Kopitar's had a legit scorer on his wing, and that could be pretty exciting.
Four-game road trip coming up starting this week, including back-to-back road games in St. Louis. I thought we were done with the COVID schedule. What's going on?
Yeah, apparently. I feel like this might just be one of those, you know what, this is how the schedule worked out, and we don't have time to go back to St. Louis, so let's get them both out of the way. This will be an interesting road trip. Nashville is kind of struggling. Dallas, people are hurt already, and it's game like two, so the Stars are in the same situation. The Blues, I don't even know what's going on with them. But they are all teams who can, you know, who I think if the Kings come away with, you know, two wins out of those four, I think that it'll tell us a lot about this team, especially when they face some of the, you know, better players on some of those teams.
And in your view, I mean, what are the keys to the season for this team? You mentioned it's a transition year. What has to happen to make it a successful transition?
You know, I think not to play like armchair psychologist, but I think that a lot of the issues have been mental for this team, of the frustration of losing, just, you know, building up and building up. And some of the, you know, if you ask Drew Doughty, like he won't say it, but he can get the idea across that they kind of check out sometimes because they're like, well, this is another lost season. But we need to see that commitment from all of the players, whether it's 18-year veteran Dustin Brown or a kid just playing his first NHL game. It's that commitment to actually playing the full 60-minute game that we don't always see from this team. And that's how they have wound up in trouble over the past seasons, of they play real great for 40 minutes and then the last 20 minutes, you know, they blow it. So I think that it's just getting in the right mindset, and not to be the hockey cliche factory, but the whole don't get too high, don't get too low kind of thing. I think that they just need to take everything in stride and just really actually commit to the game, which sometimes is lacking.
Sarah, why don't you tell our listeners where they could find your podcast and where they could find you on social media?
All right, so Locked On Kings is, of course, available wherever you get any of your podcasts, so just go find it on there. You probably have to search Locked On Los Angeles Kings because there's a basketball team that stole our name. You can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. It's W-R-I-T-E, Said Sarah with an H. And Locked On Kings is at Locked On LA Kings, so come say hi and yell about sports with me.
All right, Sarah Oppenpottel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There really is something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. And when you hear these flavors, the protein bars come in, it's easy to tell why. Raspberry, mint brownie, cookies and cream, German chocolate, cherry barcia, and my personal favorite, salted caramel. That combination of sweet and salty really does it for me. I enjoy it more than any of the others. But you know what? If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the nine permanent flavors so you can determine which ones you like the best. And not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bars, but they're healthy too. Check out these macros. Each bar has between 17 and 18 grams of protein. Calories, just 130 to 180 per bar. Just 4 to 5 grams of sugar and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy, and Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. And right now, it's my pleasure to welcome to the show the host of Locked On Sharks, J.D. Young. J.D., how are you today?
Doing well, Gil. Thanks for having me on.
Great pleasure to have you on, and you know, the Sharks finally getting their season underway, and it was a successful start to the year, a 4-3 win over the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, a lot of question marks surrounding this team heading into this year, but what did they do right against Winnipeg that got them off to this start?
I think it was their young guys finally. You know, the Sharks have been hoping that some of these young guys would start to pop, and you saw that on Saturday night with William Eklund, who their seventh round pick this year, who's basically at this point saving the franchise. You know, he had a nice assist. Jasper Weatherby, who was a fourth round pick a few years ago, in his first game, he has a golden assist. You know, like some of their young guys, like Rudy Balsers, who they picked back up from Ottawa last year, like he had a goal. So some of these young guys starting to pop, and then a mix with a blend of the veteran guys like your Tomas Hertls, your Erik Karlsson, or Brent Burns, and competent goaltending, which is something the Sharks have lacked for a long, long time now. So
talk to me about Aiden Hill and the job he did, and how many games do you think he'll be playing this year?
He looked okay his first game. There was some miscommunications between him and Karlsson that led to a goal. Funny bounce off a stanchion there. He had to kind of make a diving save, but then the Sharks weren't able to get it out, so that led to another goal. But you know, he looked competent. I think once he gets a couple more games under his belt and you get some more of that chemistry, you know, I think I could picture him probably starting, you know, 45-50 games this year. You know, the nice thing is they have a pretty competent backup with James Reimer, so you don't need to put a ton of miles on Aiden Hill. But if you need to lean on him for a stretch run, I think he can. We saw that in Arizona where he played 9 games straight last year. So
power play clicked twice in that season opening game. What made them so effective?
I think it was the kind of, as dumb as it sounds, we hear the hockey cliche of simplifying it, but it was, you know, the power play last year was brutal. It was one of I think it was like 29th in the league last year. And they just did a really nice job of moving the puck around and trying to find open shots. You know, they've done a good job of balancing the lines where Karlsson runs one and Burns runs another. And then having guys who kind of fit into their roles on there. You know, you have like Nick Bonino, who you don't really think of as a power play guy, but he does a good job of kind of cleaning up those dirty goals, like right in front of the net. You know, and then having Timo and Couture on the wings, and then Eklund kind of running from the wing as well. And yeah, it's kind of nice to see these guys being able to kind of click and get things going, especially after the power play's been so dreadful for so long.
Obviously, you know, this is a team that has never missed the playoffs 3 years in a row in their history. what do they have to do to get them back to the playoffs this year?
I think the young kids, they got to really kind of, a lot is being asked of them, especially, like I said, of like William Eklund, you know, Jonathan Dahlin, who came over from Sweden after spending a couple of years over there. You know, I think these guys have to contribute right away. And then you hope that the goaltending can go from league worst to like average. And then some of the vets like your Eric Carlsons and your Brent Burns and stuff, where they can return to form. You know, if all those things go right, especially with the Pacific Division being as weak as it is, I mean, other than Vegas, it's pretty wide open. So if those things go right, the Sharks have just as good a chance as anybody else.
Do you sense a different attitude in this locker room this year?
Oh, yeah. The vibe is, you can definitely tell just how excited the guys are to kind of play with each other. And I think it goes back to the just having the talented youth on the team now. You know, like Rudolf Spolster's got, you know, he got boarded, and then Tomas Hertl comes into the scrum, and after the game he said, you know, like, I had to go in there so that way Rudy doesn't get killed. And, you know, just like kind of guys sticking up for that, like Jake Middleton, who's, you know, he's a rookie defenseman, but, you know, he fought Logan Stanley, who's probably, you know, a good 50 pounds on him. Like, you know, it's just nice to see the team kind of have a much better vibe than they've had the past couple of years. You know, I think you can kind of look at Evander Kane's absence and kind of the team just being a lot more free now and just kind of having a better vibe and better cohesion without him playing right now.
Do you think that the whole Kane controversy had any effect on this team during training camp and through the off season?
I mean, I'm sure the players probably got sick and tired of being asked about it, but like you can see the results. You know, I mean, Kane's been on this team for a couple of years now, and they've been, you know, after their cup or their Western Conference Finals run, they've been bad. And you hear all the stories about, like, if Tomas Hertl doesn't like you, that's probably a pretty big red flag, especially coming from Tomas Hertl, who's probably one of the most beloved players in the league, you know. And it's just, you know, players basically get to the point where, like, trade me if you're going to keep him on the team. That just seems really bad. So, you know, like I said, I think him not being there, you know, right now is actually one of those kind of big additions by subtraction. I know he led the team in points last year, but, you know, sometimes when guys just don't click and they don't fit in the locker room, it can really bring everybody else down.
So what happens from here? What do you think they end up doing with him? Because I couldn't imagine they could get a lot for him under the circumstances right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're pretty happy with, they'll just pay him to not be there at the moment and just kind of let things play out. I know we're supposed to hear something soon, especially with, I mean, his gambling stuff got cleared, but there's the fake COVID vaccination card that surfaced. There's all the allegations with his ex-wife about stuff that happened there that I don't really want to get into. But, like, you know, I think it's kind of telling when the Sharks don't include him on graphics or like from the social media team and don't like wish him a happy birthday from the social media team, that I think they're just kind of done with him. And if whatever they got to do to, you know, eat his salary or just basically tell him like, you're not going to play. And, you know, I think they're just going to deal with it at this point. So.
All right. One last question. Who on this team, if anyone, can challenge Brent Burns for best beard?
Ooh, best beard? Nobody at the moment. I will say, nobody can challenge for best beard. Dahlin and Middleton both have pretty nice mustaches. But beard, there's, especially after Thornton left, right, Nobody is challenging Burns for best beard.
All right. JD, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find your podcast and where they can find you on social media?
They can find Locked on Sharks wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on YouTube. So we just launched our YouTube show last week. But anywhere else, podcasts, Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, the whole nine yards. You can find our podcast on social media at Locked on Sharks on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, where we're putting up all fun graphics and all that stuff. You can find me at my Firehouse, and you can find my co-host Kyle at Kyle Demetrius.
All right. JD, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Gil.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On NHL podcast. I want to thank my guest, J.D. Young, Sarah Avampano, and Dane Lewis for stopping by and talking a little bit about each of their teams. And I want to thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from around the league. Now make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms. That's it for us today. I'm Gil Martin. Thanks so much for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast.